今天的经文取自诗篇五十三篇。
The passage today is taken from the book of Psalms.
诗篇五十三篇是一首训诲诗。诗篇五十三篇，让我来念一遍。愚顽人心里说没有神，他们都是败坏，行了可憎的不义，没有一个行善的。神从天上查看世人，要看有明慧的没有，有寻求神的没有。他们个人都偏行了正道，一同变成污秽，没有行善的，连一个都没有。作恶的都是无知的吗？他们吞吃我的子民好像吃饭一样，并不求告神。他们在无可惊惧的时候必大大震惊，因为神把那些扎营攻击你的人的骨头击散了。他们蒙羞受辱，因为神弃绝了他们。但愿以色列的救恩从西安而出，神和他子民带来复兴的时候，雅各要快乐，以色列要欢喜。弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace to you, brothers and sisters.
每次来到堂议会崇拜的时候，就是我们反省过去还有要展望将来的时刻。
So each time we have AGM, we have a reflection of the past and we look at the future as well.
今天的经文我是很刻意的选择了一首训诲诗。
So in today's passage, I deliberately chose a poem.
这个训诲诗呢的这个词呢，其实除了这个在这个诗篇的标题以外呢，其实在第二节呢也有出现。
So it's an instructive poem, and other than appearing the title of today's sermon, it also appears in the passage.
在第二节那里说，神从天上查看世人，要看看有明慧的没有。
So in the passage it says, God looks down from the heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God.
这个训诲呢，跟这个明慧这两个词呢，是同一个希伯来的词汇，就是 maskil， 也就是明慧。
So, instruction and understanding are taken from the Hebrew text, to mean maskil.
所谓的明慧，难道指的是这个智商吗？还是指你的聪明吗
？So this understanding does it refer to IQ or intelligence?
还是说你是受到高等教育吗？
Or does it refer to you being very highly educated?
还是说你是知识渊博吗？
Or are you a scholar?
这些都不是。
None of these.
在这里的明慧呢，指的是你是很明理，并且你是一个愿意受教的人。
So the usage in usage of this term is to be reasonable and being willing to learn.
在这个诗篇里面呢，特别说到一个明慧的人也是一个寻求神的人。
So in this passage it says the understanding person is also one that is God seeking.
他们行善。
So they do good.
他们也必得救恩和复兴。
They receive salvation and revival.
相反的呢，那些不求告神的人呢，他们是愚顽的人。
Conversely, those that are foolish, they do evil.
他们行恶。
Oh, sorry, they do bad things.
然后呢，神也必审判他们。
And hence, God will punish them.
所以呢，你看这个首诗篇的时候呢，你会感觉呢，它好像这个诗篇第一篇一样呢，是把人呢分成两种。
So this passage, you see how the passage splits, divides this group into these people, two groups of people.
有呢，愚顽人和智慧人。
They are the foolish and the wise.
有这个行善的人呢，有这个行恶的人。
We have the righteous and the evil.
正如箴言第一章第七节说，敬畏神的人就是敬畏耶和华就是智慧的开端。愚顽人藐视智慧和训诲。
So Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction.
那当然我们就希望说人呢可以选择智慧的道路。
So of course we hope to choose the path of wisdom.
教会呢其实就是扮演了一个很重要的这个所谓训诲人的角色。
So the church plays an important role in this instructing this responsibility.
在教会里面我们就负责教导。
We look at teaching.
然后呢，我们就鼓励。
We encourage.
然后呢，当然也就是继续的提醒。
And we remind.
我们用意就是希望呢，人能够继续的在这个光明和正直的道路上。
The intention is to let people head down the path of righteousness.
我们很希望说，我们真的是可以避免诗人所说的第三节。
So we hope to avoid what's about being narrated in chapter passage
就是呢，人呢会个人偏行正道，一同行污秽，没有行善的，连一个都没有。
Everyone will be turned away, all have become corrupt, and there's no one who does good, not even one.
在这个训诲人的事工里面，我们最大的挑战是什么呢
？So in this ministry, what is the biggest challenge we face?
那就是我们必须很长时间的跟罪恶来抗衡。
We have to battle sin for a long time.
罪恶是形形色色的。
So there are many forms of sin.
罪恶的形形色色叫我们完全没有松懈的余地。
So because of these many forms, we often don't have any reprieve.
禧年堂走了130多年。
So Jubilee dates back more than 130 years.
这个训诲人的事工我们是要依然持续下去的。
So this ministry is something that we have to push on and persevere.
什么叫做罪恶的形形色色呢
？So what do we mean by this many forms of sin?
当我们回到这个诗篇的五十三篇的时候
，So if you look back at Psalm 53,
在大卫的时代的时候
，In David's time,
他们面对的是外来邻国的这些敌人。
They were faced with many neighboring enemies.
他们的诱惑呢，就是很希望说啊，我也可以像这些邻国的这些国家一样，我们也有这个所谓武力的强盛。
So the motivation is to be like the enemies to really conquer by force.
我希望我们的王也像其他的王一样。
Hope that our kings, our leaders are like the others.
如果他们心里是没有神
，If they don't have God in their hearts,
那他们就很容易就会随同其他的国家一样啦，像他们一样去侵略弱者啦，去奸淫掳掠啦，什么事情都做得出。
So just like the other countries, they end up oppressing the weak and committing all sorts of sin.
在那种时代，还好有大卫。
So during that period, good things that we have David.
大卫心里有神
，He has God in his heart.
就算大卫。我们知道他是不完美的，可是至少他也成为了后人一个很典范的君王。
He has his weaknesses, but he's also a model, a role model for what people look up to.
到后来，当以色列和犹大强盛起来的时候
，So eventually, when Israel and Judah became affluent,
罪恶的诱惑呢，就变成了所谓的贫富悬殊。
The temptation of sin was the disparity between the weak and sorry, the rich and the poor.
当当权者没有神的时候。
When the people don't have God in their hearts,
就很容易会去仗势欺人，会去欺压在社会里面的弱者。
They become susceptible to deceiving and oppressing the weak.
在那个时候还好有先知。
So good things that we have prophets.
先知心里有神。
Prophets have God in their hearts.
成为了社会的良心。在那边批判所谓的权贵
，so they become the conscience of society and they have they criticize others.
到以色列犹大末期的时候
，so during the end days, end periods of Israel and Judah,
在他们先后开始家破人亡也被放逐的时候
，when they're split, people become homeless.
罪恶的诱惑呢，就是要会向。那些超级强国呢，来屈服，来被同化，被妥协。
So the temptation of sin was to become to assimilated in sin.
在那个时候，还好有像以斯拉这样的祭司。
So fortunately, we have people like Ezra.
就有这样的一群领袖们呢，他们心里有神。
So this group of leaders have God in their hearts.
使犹太人呢能够返回到耶路撒冷去那边重建家园。
That the Jews are able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the homeland.
来到了耶稣的时代。
And coming to Jesus.
罪恶的诱惑呢，就是会以守律法来假冒伪善。
The temptation is to be countered by the law.
还好有耶稣。
We have Jesus.
因为耶稣心里有神。
Because Jesus has God in his heart.
他就以自我牺牲来完成神要对世人的启示。
So through his own sacrifice, he completed God's revelation and work in this world.
当我们回顾整个这样的一个圣经历史的时候
，So we look back in the history of the Bible.
我们看到的真的就是罪恶的形形色色。
We see many, many forms of sin.
在每一个时代呢，都必须要有人心里有神。
In every era, there must be people with God in their hearts.
当他们心里有神的时候，就有智慧。
Because when this happens, they have wisdom.
然后呢，就能够以智慧来面对罪恶。
And with wisdom, they can confront sin.
然后才能避免呢世人呢真的是随波逐流。
And to prevent others from drifting.
禧年堂刚才说了，我们一百三十多年以来呢，都得面对罪恶的形形色色。
As mentioned in our over 130 years of history, we face all sorts of sin.
所以在我们教会里面呢，我们历史里面我们有办教育的，我们有戒鸦片的。
So in our work with plant education, with help drug takers.
我们也有这个传福音的，我们也有教导门徒的。
We also evangelism, we have discipleship.
在今年的这个四月十八日的联合早报。
So in 联合早报on the 18th of April.
就出了一个关于孙中山还有郑聘廷牧师的一则报道。
The paper published a story about Sun Yat-sen and Pastor Zheng Pingting.
这个你们的左边的呢是郑聘廷牧师的年轻的照片。
On the left is Zheng Pingting when he was younger.
然后呢，右边的是郑聘廷牧师跟师母年老的时候，我看这个是大概1940多年的。
So the picture on the right is a picture of the pastor with his wife, probably 1940s.
有谁认得吗？一九四多年应该还有一些，可能都在家里了哈。OK， 好，不是开玩笑了，不是真的不是开玩笑。OK， 所以呢，好，所以郑聘廷牧师呢是我们禧年堂1898年到1912年的这个牧师。
So.Pastor Zheng was a pastor in our church from 1898 to 1912.
他也是我们禧年堂的第一任的华人的主理牧师，或者是我们的会正。
He was also the first in our Chinese congregation.
It's our first Chinese moderator. Our first Chinese
moderator.
In 1912年，就算他请辞以后呢，他依旧是在我们教会里面呢，还有在其他的这个区域的教会呢，不断的服侍教会。
So even after stepping down in around 1912, he continued to serve in church as a volunteer.
在这段期间里面呢，他最显著的贡献呢，就是他成立了我们叫做一个书报社。
So in this voluntary period, the biggest contribution he had was setting up.
No, during the volunteer. Yeah, 就在他做牧师，我们教会牧师的时候呢，
His biggest contribution was setting up this reading room.
他原本呢是在1902年的时候，他就学习其他的教会，那时比较流行的呢，就是创办了一个基督教青年会，阅览室。
So in 1902, he did something which was quite common then in setting up this reading room to reach out to the youths, to reach out to people.
No, yeah, I wrote that. It's
It's a YMCA reading room.
可是呢，做做做就觉得没，后来就发现没有什么效果。
But he found that it's not very effective.
可能呢，因为他的名字叫做基督教青年会，所以大家就觉得这个是教会来的，就没有来，都没有去。
So some people liken YMCA to be a church anyway.
不过呢，后来呢，他就在三年后，1905年的时候呢，他就改名，他就把这个阅览室呢改为新州阅书报社。
In 1905, he changed the name of this reading club to be the 新州 Reading Room. Reading Room.
他的用意呢，就是要带动人学习的这个风气，以这个呢为宗旨。
His intention was to create an atmosphere of learning.
然后呢，当时候的这些因为他就是取名为新州书报社，所以你可以想象，就是好像是这个国家的看书的地方。所以当时候这个南洋中国的同盟会呢，主要的那些领导人呢，他们都成为了这个书报社的社员。
So the 新州 reading room almost sounded like a national effort. So a lot of members of the 同盟会 were members of this reading room.
新州这个阅读书报社呢，就在郑聘廷的主持之下呢，以开通民智、宣传主道为名呢，就邀请了当时候的这些反清的革命志士， 在这个社这个阅读书报社里面呢，就进行了所谓的反封建，然后呢推翻满清政府的演讲。
So under the direction of Pastor Zheng, so the reading room had I guess the mission was to really open the wisdom of people, and they invited anti-Qing groups in society to deliver speeches against the government.
在那，所以当时呢，这个我们可以想象是清朝的末期的时候。
So that time that was during the late period of the Qing dynasty.
然后呢，这个那时候的朝廷呢，尤其的腐败。
The court was very corrupt.
然后让呢那个人民的生活呢就非常的艰苦，然后民不聊生。
It led to all sorts of hardship and difficulties for the people then.
所以这个讲座呢，就因此就借这个机会呢来传播鼓吹这个革命的思想。
So this room they presented opportunity for spreading of anti-revolutionary ideas.
然后呢，就是要用意就是要推翻所谓的昏庸无能的满清政府。
To overthrow the incompetent Manchu government.
书报社就成为了一个宣传这个革命的一个很重要的场所。
So this reading room played an important role in this propaganda messages.
你可以想象当时候的情景呢，书报社呢讲有演讲的时候，可能一两百人会在那边参加。
You can imagine whenever there are speeches, scores of people will be attending.
所以当孙中山来到新加坡的时候
，So after Sun Yat-sen arrived in Singapore,
就曾经对这个书报社呢大大的赞扬。
He commended this reading room.
在这个新州书报社的影响之下呢，因为它非常的成功。
Because of the success of this reading room,
新加坡、马来西亚、印尼整个区域呢，就纷纷的就是效仿，所以这个当时候的书报社里面呢，多达150多个都是以新州书报社做开始的。
So, this thing has spread. The news of this has spread to Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and it was an indication of the success of this.
有一百五十多个。
Yeah, more than 150 people.
Yeah. 所以呢，在当同盟会终于推翻这个满清政府在这个同盟会推翻满清政府的整个行动当中呢，这个书报社就因为它是整个南洋的运动呢，扮演了很重要的角色。
So because of the role of this integrating across the whole Nanyang groups, it played a very important and key. It was a very key important initiative.
所以当这个推翻满清政府成功革命成功的时候呢，孙中山也就在1912年的时候呢，以这个临时大总统的名义呢，颁发了这个所谓的优等金义状，然后呢鼓励这个郑病廷牧师。
So because of its eventual success in overthrowing the government, Sun Yat-sen showed immense encouragement and praise of this reading room.
从今年开始呢，我打算在每一年的唐议会的这个联合崇拜呢，真的是让我们回顾一段我们禧年堂的历史。
So from this year onwards, I want to start to reflect during every AGM.
在我们禧年堂的历史里面呢，我们也有办教育的，我们也有开许多的布道会的，许许多多在新加坡的贡献。
So in the course of in the history of Jubilee, we've done all sorts of educational efforts, gospel rallies, all sorts of contributions.
这些我就留着以后一年一年慢慢的讲。
I will talk about this in subsequent years.
今天为什么要特别的介绍郑病廷牧师的这个书报社呢
？So what do I want to talk about Pastor Zheng's reading room?
因为我觉得其实这也就是一种训诲人的事工的一种方式。
This is an instruction of people to ways that we can serve.
因为我们的信仰跟我们的社会呢是不能够脱节的。
So faith and society cannot be disconnected.
当我们讲说这个罪恶的形形色色的时候
，So we talk about all forms of sin，
包括人、包括社会的罪恶的时候，它是没有标签的。
There's no label to it, to people or how it's done.
罪恶没有放一个告示牌在他的头上说，哦，我是罪恶，我是恶人，没有这样的事。
So there's no label on top of your head saying I am a wicked person, an evil person.
在诗篇的第一篇是说什么？他说：“愚顽人是心里说没有神。”
So, in this passage, in verse 1, it says, "There is no God."
什么叫做心里说没有神呢？
So what does it mean?
我们知道有些人我们形容为目中无人，对不对？
We talk about how some people have complete disregard of others.
所谓的目中无人就是他看不起人啊，他们觉得 他才不管有什么人，他自己想做什么就做什么，这个叫做目中无人。
So what does it mean? They look down on people and they do whatever they want as they please.
我跟你讲，有些人是目中无人，有些人甚至是目中无神，连神都不差。
So there are people who disregard others and there are people who disregard God.
所谓的目中无神不表示他是一个无神论者，不是这个意思。因为在古时呢，特别好像诗篇的时代，每一个人都是信神的，没有人是无神论者，没有这个样子。
And I'm not even talking about atheists, because during those times, everyone believed in the existence of God.
所以这边当我们说这些愚顽人他是心里无神，说他们说没有神是什么意思呢？
So when they say there's no God, what does it mean?
意思就是说他们根本无视神的存在。
Because they ignore the existence of God.
他们觉得神根本管不着他们。
They feel that God's powerless over them.
所以呢，他们就任意妄为。
So they do whatever they please.
做什么事情呢？在第四节就形容说，他们吞吃我的子民，好像吃饭一样。
So in verse 4 it says, through eating bread, they never call on God.
就表示他们好像侵略者一样的掠夺这些百姓的财物和生命。
So they're like oppressors who exploit the weak of their belongings.
所以清楚啊，这些人不是口里宣告说没有神，哦，我没有神，我不相信神，不是这样的人。
So they're not proclaiming that there's no God.
我们是从他们的行为知道说他们心里的到底有没有敬畏神。
So it's from their actions that we know whether or not they have God in their hearts.
因为他们的所作所为就表明了他们根本不在乎神的审判。
Because whatever is done, it shows that they don't really care about God's judgment.
所以我们明白这点的时候，我们就明白为什么当时候郑平亭牧师他的这个书报社有这么大的影响力。
So by knowing this, we know the huge influence the Reading Room had by Pastor Zheng.
因为呢，他有这么大的影响力，就是他能够认清楚当时候的罪恶。
It was so successful because it recognized the sin at that point of time.
所以呢，就扮演了一个很重要一个训诲人的角色。
So he played the role of instructing others.
在这个无视对于那些无视神的那些恶者的世界里面呢。郑平亭的这个训诲人的事工呢，真的就是当时候的一盏明灯。
So in the world, in this period where God was completely ignored, the pastor's ministry was a shining light that illuminated this world.
所以在当我在准备今天这篇讲章的时候
，So in preparation of today's message,
我就真的是要做一个很重要的深思，下一个神。
Yeah, we just want to make a point, an important point.
我就要去想说，那今天呢
？What about today? I would like to think.
今天的罪恶是什么
？What are the sins that we face now?
当我们去，而且是很必要的去想这个课题的时候
，So as we deeply think about this,
我们就发现这个是一个很关键，可是又是却是非常难回答的问题。
It is a very critical question, but also a difficult one to answer.
罪恶的形形色色到了今天，这个罪恶到底是什么呢？我们要面对的是什么
？So despite these many many forms of sin, which is the one that we have to face today and now?
相信大家看到这个在纽西兰还有在斯里兰卡的恐怖事件的时候
，So we recently came across all these reports of terrorist attacks in New Zealand and Sri Lanka.
这些都是自称相信神的人。
Perpetrators are people who believe in God.
可是他们的行为呢，跟我们相信的神呢，是天差地远的。
Oh, they say they believe in God, but their behavior was far from it.
当然，我们可以说啊，没有啦，这些恐怖分子他们是恶人。
So we can easily brush it off and say these people are wicked people, evil people.
可是如果你去问无神论者的话呢，他们说其实宗教才是恶人。
But atheists will say that religion is at fault.
宗教才是罪魁祸首。
They are the biggest culprit here.
所以我们这个训诲人的事工来到了今天这个世代。
So this instructing ministry today
已经不再是相信神还是不相信神这样的一个很不是这么这样容易处理的事情，不是这么简单的事。
It's not a matter as simple as just believing or not believing in God.
因为相信神的人也是可以做伤天害理的事。也是可以伤害人的。
Because people who believe in God can do all sorts of evil against others.
相信神做伤天害理的事，也包括基督徒。
This includes Christians as well.
我们要问的问题是，现今的罪恶到底是什么呢？
We want to ask what is sin in this world.
我重新回到诗篇五十三篇。
So I look back at chapter 53 in Psalms.
我想我找到了我的答案。
I think I found my answer.
恶人最大的问题是肤浅。
So the biggest problem we have is about being superficial.
恶人最大的问题是肤浅。
The biggest problem is being superficial.
在诗篇五十三篇里面呢，恶人为什么肤浅呢？
So in chapter 53, why do wicked people, why are they superficial?
因为他只在乎眼前的利益。
Because they only care about immediate interests.
他们以为所谓的他们心里觉得没有神，是说他们看不见神。
Well, there's no God in their hearts because they can't see God.
所以他们以为哦，既然我看不见神，就表示神管不了我。
So because they can't see God, they feel that God has no control over them.
相反的呢，明慧人呢是那个深谋远虑的人。
So conversely, the people who are understanding are people who can't see it.
他们呢能够看得到神最后的审判。
They can see the final judgment by God.
他们也相信神对于子民的这个应许呢，可能不是今天，可能不是明天，可能不是后天，可是终究有一天会兑现的。
They know that the promises of God may not be answered in the mid, near, even long-term future, but eventually it will.
来到了今天，我觉得罪恶的问题呢，还是肤浅。
So coming back today, I think that the biggest problem is being superficial.
今天的罪恶还是肤浅。
Today's sin is superficial.
纵然说我们这个是一个资讯爆炸的时代，哇，任何的资讯在网际网络都可以看得到。
So in this era of digital disruption, explosion, any message, anything can be found on the internet.
可是我们反而更需要这个分辨的能力，更需要我们能够应对问题的这个智慧。
But we need to distinguish the ability, we need to be able to cope with any issues.
一个人可以通过网际网络呢自我激化激进化。
So anybody can be radicalized through the internet.
然后呢就可以做出仇视其他民族其他政党的行为。
And do all sorts of bad things against other people, other groups of people, other countries.
在新加坡的这个网际网络里面，
In this cyber world in Singapore,
我也看到我们人呢，就是真的很容易去跟风，去批评人呐、骂人呐，什么都我们都做得出。
We can be easily influenced and start rebuking and scolding and complaining against others.
最近我们最热门的这个讨论的问题呢，就是 doxing. Doxing 的意思呢，就是把别人的这个个人资料呢放在网上呢去骚扰他们。
And so the latest fad is doxing, where we put people's personal particulars online.
所以我们要问一个问题。
So we want to ask a question.
如果罪恶最大的问题在今天是肤浅的话，
If the biggest problem is being superficial,
那我们禧年堂要怎么样训诲人呢？
And Jubilee, what should we do?
我们怎么训诲人呢？脱离这个肤浅的罪恶呢？
How does the church instruct people to break free from being superficial?
现在教育部对于每一个学生都制定了所谓的面对二十一世纪的这个教育方针，这个是每一个做老师做校长的都很熟悉的一个图案。
So Ministry of Education recently developed education policy for the 21st century, something that teachers and principals will be quite familiar with.
我觉得这个是有许多我们可以参照的部分。
I think there's a lot that we can take a reference from.
当然中间的这个所谓的核心价值观呢，教育部有教育部的核心价值观，可是我们作为基督徒的，我们有我们的信仰核心的价值观。
MOE may have their own core values, but as Christians in the church, we also have a different set of core values.
比方说我们对于神的爱的这个价值观。
For example, the love of God.
可是我们这个训诲人的工作，我们当我们看这样的一个图表的时候，我们发现我们这个训诲人的工作呢，不单是我们基督徒的这个价值观，我们也要很看重做人的这个自我意识，我们的自我管理。
So beyond the core values, we also have to learn how to be self-aware and how to manage ourselves.
在这个训会人的工作里面，我们也得教导人如何能够与世界来接轨。
We also need to teach people and on how they should connect with the world.
所以我很欣赏我们这个1926在做的事工，真的是要帮助我们的这个年轻人，我们的青成年人呢，能够真的能够与世界来接轨，从我们的福音到我们所面对的罪恶的世界。
So I fully appreciate the work of the 1926 Ministry on how they help people connect the world.
当然，你说接下来十年，接下来可能没有完全的这个具体方案。
You might be thinking maybe going 10 years down the road, you may don't have such a blueprint, such a similar approach.
不过至少呢，我相信在整个训会人的工作呢，我们是要不断的以这为目标继续往前行。
So I think in this instructing ministry is something that we can strive forward.
让我们来同心祷告。爱我们的天父，我们感谢你，因为你愿意向我们启示自己，叫我们能够认识你，叫我们在这个训会人的事工的道路上，主啊，你的智慧借着我们融入到群体当中，成为这个世界、这个群体、这个国家的明灯。这样子祈求祷告，奉耶稣基督的名，